Hey guys, I'm Jordan Frommer. I believe in hunting hard, hunting smart, and having a fun time while doing it. And shooting limits? Well, that's just the icing on the cake. I revel in the journey just as much as the successes it brings. From ducks to dogs to decoys and guns, we'll be talking tactics, strategies, and what it takes to get the job done. Load up and take aim. This is the Duck Gun Podcast.
What's going on, folks? Thanks for joining me on another episode of the Duck Gun Podcast. I am Jordan, your host and guide, and you are listening to the Duck Gun Podcast, where you learn to be a better waterfowler. So today's episode, we are going to be, well, letting you know that I've been keeping a secret. So the secret is that I bought something that's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime awesome opportunity for next waterfowl season. It's a scale from 1 to 10, Hunter. What do you think? What do you think of
like, what part? What am I rating? Am I rating the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, or am I rating the enjoyment factor? What am I rating here?
All those things combined.
10, 12.
It's like, 50. What? Like, why does it matter? I'm like,
50. Yeah, but if you're like, how easy it's going to be, -5.
Oh, yeah. It's difficult. So yeah. I got Hunter, the co-host of the Duck Gun Podcast, alongside me tonight. And we got young Padawan, Zach Conrad, joining us. It's not trivia night, though. So, but you're with us, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I'm living and breathing.
Living and breathing. So we've just had a long, hard day of work on said project. Don't worry. I'm not going to make you wait that much longer before I tell you everything about it. But before we jump into that, guys, let's get a quick word from our partners, and we'll tell you all about the project that we'll be working on all summer to be ready for waterfowl season. It's going to blow your mind. That's your teaser. It probably is. So first off, we'd like to give a big thanks to Onyx. Guys, Onyx makes an excellent product for the duck hunter. Right there in the palm of your hand, you have the app. You can look for tax information. You can look for the tools they have for measuring, for wind, for weather. You can mark pins. You can share them with your buddies. It's just a game changer when it comes to how we hunt today. If you're not using Onyx, you definitely should. It's going to increase your success and enjoyment when it comes to waterfowl hunting. Also, like to give a big thanks to Final Approach. Guys, Final Approach is the one-stop shop for the duck hunters. It is off-season right now, and you need to start putting your list together for season, because it's going to be rolling around before you know it. And Final Approach has everything you can need for hunting, whether it's decoys, waders, blind bags, gun cases, gun sling. I mean, you name it. As a waterfowl hunter, you can go over there, and they make excellent products. So check it out. You can use code DUCKGUN over there. And the website is fabrand.com. Also like to give a big thanks to Weatherby. Guys, Weatherby just launched their newest shotgun, the Sorex. Huge launch. If you're anywhere on social media, you saw it this past week. It's a big deal. It's a really cool shotgun. I got my hands on the first sample for the first product, first launch, and it's a really cool gun. I can't wait to use it in turkey season and waterfowl. They're upping the game again. If you're in the market for a waterfowl shotgun, do yourself a favor and consider Weatherby. Also like to give a big thanks to Motion Ducks, guys. Motion Ducks is the jerk rig on steroids. Whether you hear it here or other places, I definitely coined that term. It wasn't Elliot.
No beef there.
So, no, I'm just clearing the air on that. It's I came up with the term. But it is the jerk rig on steroids. And, you know, when you need motion in your set, when you need ripples in the water, Motion Ducks is the product that gets the job done. Sets up super easy, and it's just way better than traditional jerk rigs. For getting that motion, and it's one of the most important things that gets overlooked a ton for waterfowl. So check them out over there, motionducks.com. Use code DUCKGUN10. Alrighty, let's go ahead and jump on into today's podcast. So, I bought a 43-foot houseboat for duck hunting We're going to be traveling down the Mississippi River, and yeah, we're sitting in that boat right now. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, the podcast, YouTube channel, Duck Gun Podcast, I'm overlaying a little video right now so you can see what's going on. You can see a little bit of the craziness that we have volunteered ourselves to be a part of this summer, because it's, yeah, it's crazy.
It's going to be a lot.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be equal parts work and enjoyment, though. Like, it's, I mean, there's so much work that goes into it. And like today, I mean, we busted it from dawn till dusk. We left just enough time for sunshine to film and record the podcast. But besides that, we've just all been busting it, working on different projects all day. So,
you want me to do an overview of what the boat is?
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it, Hunter. Yeah.
All right. So the boat is made by the Zerlot family of boat builders down in Alabama. I can't remember the exact town now, but it's a 1988 43-foot Zerlot. Hull shape is called a trawler, so it's pretty deep V. If you don't get to see the videos and stuff of it, think of it like the shrimp boats you see down south. It's like the same hull shape and pilot house as a shrimp boat, but like has a living space on the back of it rather than having the trawl nets. But it's a juniper plank hull, treated pine timber for the mainframes, and then the inside and the decks are all old growth cedar, or not cedar, I'm sorry, cypress planking. So all this, like if you're watching the video behind us, this is all cypress. And it's pretty cool. I know some of the history on it. Some of the history was it's been in the ocean at least once. I don't know how many other times. And I know it's gone up and down the Mississippi three separate occasions. And now we're up here kind of on the northern part of the Mississippi. And it was previously used for like a school project type of a thing, and like an outreach program. And it sat for give or take 10 years. And, well, now we have it.
Right. Yep. Now we've acquired it. And we're beyond excited. So, to kind of like give a little bit of the backstory to how this story got started. So, you know, Hunter, you've been thinking about doing something like this your whole life. I saw on a YouTube video some guy doing something, not this exactly, but he was doing something where he was fishing from a houseboat and living on it. And I'm like, you know, as a content creator for YouTube, you know, for duck hunting, I'm always trying to say, hey, what's the next coolest and biggest thing that I can do? And that's also like really a cool adventure, because I love going on adventures, right? That's part of why we duck hunt. Some people, you know, more and some people less, but like that's a big part of it for me. I love going new places, new experiences, crazy new anything, you know, when it goes to duck hunting. And I really just really love that part of duck hunting, and then doing that and going to shoot ducks in wild places. And so this, you know, so we were actually on a teal hunt in Iowa, and we're walking through a marine, and there's just like these giant houseboats, boats all over the place. And I'm like, hey man, I've had this idea, and like, here's these houseboats. I didn't realize there's houseboats on the Mississippi. You know, oh yeah, man, like that's a big thing all over the Mississippi, this and that. And like, you have a lot of knowledge when it comes to the boats, Hunter. Like, you know, it's just for whatever reason, you, like, it's just something that you just knew a lot about, you know? So, you know, that was really useful, really like helpful when we're like talking about the game plan, because I don't think with like my knowledge base that I'd feel like as comfortable doing this, because I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm like, so, you know, it worked out perfect. You're like, man, I've been wanting to do this too. And so, I mean, we just kept bouncing ideas back and forth, kind of like, you know, a nuclear action. And
yeah, it was. I mean, we're sending marketplace listings to each other.
And almost as like, a joke, right?
Yeah, it was a joke. Well,
you sent one that was like, it was like $300,000.
Yeah, it was boat. Cool. It was cool, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think it was like 80-some foot long, but what was really cool about it was the back of it. It was actually like a catamaran, so it had two tunes, and then the back was a garage door, and we could have pulled the duck boat in between the tunes in the back, and then there was a boat lift and everything. Like, that would have That would have been sweet, but a little bit out of the budget. But yeah, it like started out as kind of a joke, and like you're talking about, I had always wanted to, and my dad and I kind of always talked about chasing the migration all the way south on the Mississippi and how cool it would be just to be able to live on a boat and go out and duck hunt whenever you want to. And if you wake up and you don't feel like duck hunting, well, then you just hang out on the boat for the day. And we're doing the first half of that dream, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, is the plan currently. But it's going to be cool. I mean, like,
right.
Just thinking about sitting here and like, we're standing on the back deck eating lunch and it's like, man, you know, in a couple months, there'll be a river flowing by us while we're doing this.
Right. And that'll be super cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then, like you said, we actually tried to buy a different one first. And you know, it would have been a really cool one too.
Yeah.
For sure. But we were second to the listing on that. And it got away from us, and I was kind of distraught, you know. I was like, oh, we're never going to find another boat again. That was the one. And because this, the one, it's like you said, a lot of things on this are really unique. All the wood in it is, like, really unique. Whereas, like, a lot of them we see are, like, fiberglass or aluminum or, like, the Gibson. They're just, it doesn't feel as wild or is like what our style is, you know. It seems more like like family boat outing instead of like
the Gibsons,
duck hunter cabin.
Yeah, the Gibsons are made more like, if you think of like a late 80s like camper, like they're just kind of have like a late 80s camper, kind of garbagey, dumpy, and like they're fine boats if you have one that's in good shape, but like just not the look, the aesthetic that we were going for, or really even like the project, right? Like it wouldn't have been as cool as this thing is,
right?
And obviously there's like visual aspects with trying to make videos, and like this thing's got the visual.
Yep.
Like we were talking to the marina owner today and he was like, yeah, everybody comes in here and asks about it. So
yeah, it is. It's like, it's just a really cool boat. When you look at it, really unique, even considering all the houseboats that are on the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And, we had it all planned. So listing came up. I'm trying to remember, Hunter. Did I see it first or did you?
I don't remember. Okay. I thought about it earlier, and I couldn't remember if I sent it to you.
I think I did.
But I think you sent it to me, yeah.
Yeah, because we were bouncing them back and forth, but we'd have to go look back in the messages. Not that it really matters. We're, you know, we're just sharing them back and forth. And, like, man, I saw this listing, and I said, hey, we got it. Like, this is the one we got to check out. And the listing was, you can if you buy it, like whoever can get it off of my property first gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, deal.
Well, no, we weren't like deal.
Oh, you're right. Okay. I was like deal.
Yeah. Jordan's all
I was gung ho. I'm like, we can, like, this is going to be awesome. And so we planned out a time to go see the boat. Yeah. Right. We told him that, hey, we'd make a down payment, whatever he needs to hold it for us. And he agreed that since we messaged him first, and I don't know how we, you know, messaged him first, because he said he had 100 messages by like day one or day two, right?
Yeah, yeah. He said he took it down after like a day or two
because it was just hundreds of messages about this boat, and like it's still surreal that we got it out of all people.
Yeah,
and
well, it was crazy because like what actually ended up happening is we wanted to look at it before. We were like, yeah, I wanted to talk to the person, I wanted to look at it, right? And so I was working second shift. I got off work at 11 o'clock and drove almost 5 hours north to come look at it. So I got up here at like 4 a.m, slept in a truck stop for like 2 hours because they wanted to meet me before they went to work. So I met them at like 6:30 a.m. I'm like looking at the boat as the sun's coming up, and I'm like, boy, this thing is a project. Like,
it's really sweet, but it's a project.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, man, this thing is a project. And like, I have more experience being around these bigger boats. I don't know everything about them. They don't claim to, but I have more experience than the other guys here about them. And I'm like, man, I don't know if this is reasonable. Like, I don't know if we want this much of a project.
So, and part of the story, you know, is we had that date set to go see it. And then.
No, that was the pickup date.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a pickup date. So I went there by myself.
That's
that was
right.
The plan.
Okay.
And like I said,
right, because we had to do it quick.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make it because work. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, hey, I can buzz up there. And so, yeah, we looked at it. We're literally sending videos back and forth. And you're like, hey, this and that. And I'm like, sounds good to me. And you're like, I don't know. And you're like, hey, you see this board, this rotten that like holds the whole boat together? I'm like, patch it together.
Yeah, shore it up. It'll be fine. Right? It'll be fine. And I'm like, I don't know. And like when I drove away, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to take videos and I'm going to like be like, all right, well, we can add this boat into like the notch for the search, but it's not it. And well, that decision got made for me.
So we went for it.
Yep.
And, you know.
And then a couple weeks later, we lined transport. So we had to get a semi with a special trailer in order to transport it. And that's the day that you were supposed to come, and you ended up having something else come up.
Right.
You couldn't make it. And, man, that was – so, for reference, the boat is exactly 1 inch too wide to go down the highway without a police escort, but no one's asking. And it was exactly 3 inches too tall in Minnesota. I think there's some law about, like, if they're over a certain height, they can only be on the road at like 11 to like 1 in the morning or some crazy stuff like that. And it was too tall. So as we're like sitting on the trailer, I'm like beating screws in and ripping the anchor lights off to make it to where the brackets wouldn't stick up so that we could get on the road that morning.
Right.
And ended up being like, I don't know, I thought it was like 30 or 40 miles from where it was at to here. Mm. It wasn't super far, but it was far enough. I mean, it took an hour and a half, but we were going kind of slow because it is a 50 or big old boat on a trailer, and it hasn't moved in 10 years. So, you know,
right.
No one wants to see an accident of a pile of wood on the side of the road.
Definitely.
That would have been brutal.
Right. And I was so glad you could make it up here because we had that date set and had a medical issue come up in the family and couldn't quite make it. And so you're still gung ho to go get the trailer and, well, not really get the trailer, but be there for the whole transport process. Yeah, because it's a major ordeal to get a 43-foot houseboat anywhere. This is not from on land. It's not in the water because it's made to be in the water. It's not really made to be on a trailer.
No, it's not. And like it was kind of cool. I mean, it was surreal. We're driving through like downtowns of cities, and we're just like driving through downtown, and here this boat is touching both sidewalks, and like it was huge. It just it looks so weird. Like the image of the boat on the trailer behind the semi makes the semi look like a normal pickup truck behind like a big boat, and it's like it was weird. It was so weird to see this thing go down the road. And it never stopped shedding leaves the whole way. It was just shedding the leaves off of it.
I believe it.
But yeah, it was. And then I was able to rub it in that I was able to be here and rub it in gently, but rub it in.
Right.
But here we all are. That was November 3rd. It got moved. And here we are.
Yeah, like
in March.
I said, I've been keeping a secret this whole time. Because I wanted it to be announced, like, with the content and all that. So there'll be a full video series on all the work we're doing and all that. And I do. So before we get to kind of, like, what we did today and all that, like, we need to share what the whole plan is for this. And we kind of talked about it a little bit. But we've even changed it a little bit since we started. A series that I've always done is Chasing the Openers. So that was kind of the start of the idea. It's like, hey, continue that tradition that I've been doing on the channel with series, and like this is one way to like the ultimate way to chase the openers. But you know, it's going to be a little bit of that and a little bit of other, you know, hitting up key and prime times on the Mississippi River. I mean, potential for hunting like three or four different states, potential for hitting three states. Well, maybe four. So somewhere in there, three to four states, 10-day trips, and then I'm sure we'll be here on some weekends as well through season because, yeah, we got a 43-foot house. But, like, where else would you rather be if you could hunt here? So, yeah, I think it's going to make the craziest, most exciting, most adventurous, awesome duck hunting content that I can possibly imagine. And that's kind of the goal, to bring everybody along to see this and be a part of it. And it's, yeah. So, fast forward, we're to today. This is, months of planning. And we even, like, to the point where I'm like, hey, I need to focus on season, on the other content. And, like, but as soon as it gets over, gung-ho, because that's how I am with everything. Gung-ho, dive into it. And so that's what we did. And we made plans. And we've got, like, weekends marked on the calendar. And all this, too, because we have a giant undertaking. I mean, this thing, like I said, it hasn't been in the water in 10 years. It would not float if we put it in the water right now. There's giant seam leaks in all the boards because it's wood everywhere. So we have a lot of work, and we've done a lot of work today, and we'll get into that. But I do want to let Zach talk at some point. You've been listening over here. So
keep it down over there, Zach.
I know.
So we got here today. Let's see what you're – because had you seen any pictures of it to this point or anything? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I saw some pictures when it was on the truck getting transported.
Okay. So I couldn't remember what I shared with you and all that. But so your first reaction, man, just like we got out of the truck last night. And, you know.
It was huge. Yeah. It was way bigger than I was expecting. So not only is it 43 foot long, but it's like 16, 20 foot tall. It's massive.
It's monstrous.
So, yeah. But I got out and I saw it. It was massive. It's, you know, all dirty. You got paint peeling, that sort of thing. So right off the bat, it was like, oh, this is a big project, right? So there's a little bit of anticipation going into it. You know, I was excited. We got into town last night at, what time was it, like 11 or midnight?
11 local time.
Yeah.
Midnight our time.
So, you know, we're trying to get the cabin cleaned up a little bit so we could set up cots. And the entire time I'm just kind of brainstorming, thinking about the boat.
I was thinking about how gross it was because there's just squirrel nests everywhere. Yeah. There's mouse nests everywhere. And this was our only place to sleep.
Yeah, it was with the trucks.
And I mean, it was disgusting. And yes. We set up cots and sleeping bags, and I slept on these cushions that we're recording on right now, and they looked just disgusting. So
it was a pain in the butt too, because every time you wanted to stand up, you had to go put your shoes on, because it was like I'm not letting my feet touch the floor.
Right. It was so.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Like, what was your expectation versus reality?
Right. So I'd seen a lot more than he had as far as like the videos and, mm-hmm. and all that. And I kind of knew more what to expect, but still like seeing it in person compared to the photos, like, and the videos, like it doesn't quite do it justice to like actually being here in person. So,
yeah.
And it is big and it's super cool. Like we're sitting here in a boatyard and it's like, you know, there's a few dozen boats, a couple dozen boats in here. And mm-hmm. we're talking about this over lunch. And it's like, there's like two that are like super unique. Mm-hmm. And one of them's like an eight, like what Alex, like a,
it's like 80 some foot, huge, big steel, like triple deck boat. It's right. massive. It's
right. really it was like a charter big. On the Great Lakes. And then there's this one that's almost as tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an 84, you know, a 43. Mm-hmm. versus that. So there, you know, that's a it's like one of the most unique boats, and I'm so excited for being here in season and floating down the Mississippi, and like we're already talking about how cool it's just gonna be to, like, you know, we talk about, you know, and honestly I learned this phrase from Elliot Freelance Duck Hunting, but he talks about like you know, you really gotta be in a marsh and like and see it breathe, like to like be a part of it for, you know, a 24-hour period or something like that. And like we're doing like the ultimate version of that, like complete and utter immersion into wilderness, where like our goal will be to like, hey, we're going in and we're not coming out. Right. We're gonna be on the Mississippi River floating down right up to the marshes, and then we'll be able to, you know, jump on our duck boats or canoes or whatever and get in some really cool places and hunt. Then we come back here and cook them up, live, and rinse and repeat, right?
Yeah. It's going to be so awesome. Like, it's just there's no way it could sink and go horrible and catch on fire. But, like, it's like if it works, it's going to be so cool to be able to just spend 10 days just uninterrupted in the river. You just get to, like you said, you just get to shoot wild birds in wild places. And while the Mississippi isn't as wild as like as you go west, because there's, you know, there's still towns and stuff like that dotted along the river, but like we're going to be able to be around them. Like we don't have to stay in a town. We can stay,
right.
We can stay 5 miles from one, or we can stay 20 miles from one, right. You know?
Mm-hmm. Just out there in the river somewhere in between the marshes and yeah. Be part of the river.
Yeah. And like, I don't know that you guys said you'd never like slept on a boat like this on the river, but like it's a different experience, because like the boat will move all night and it'll be making noise all night, and it's like I love it, but some people really don't. Like some people, it really bothers them.
Is it like creaky?
This thing will creak. This boat will creak. Like the fiberglass boats don't really creak, but like just like anything that's not tied down, you can just kind of like hear it gently sway against stuff. And it's like, to me, it's just absolute music. But some people, it really bothers them. I like the sound of the water going underneath the hull if we're in a spot with a lot of current. But yeah, it's going to be just an extra special season because of this boat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Getting to do weekends and trips and yeah. We're going to make the best out of it. This might be the only season we get to use the boat. You know, mm-hmm. We don't know exactly how it's going to go. And if it is, it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. And, you know, it may be you'd really have to press for something like this to happen again. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely going to do our best to enjoy all that and make some really cool content, too.
So you want to go into what we, like, got accomplished today on it? I mean, we got here and assessed that the place was a pigsty and was lived in by
fish. Man, it was 22 degrees when we got here last night.
Yep.
It was freezing cold.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an accurate assessment.
Right. So we all had sleeping bags though, and we're all used to hunting and camping and being in the wilderness. So we roughed it out and yeah. Yep. But yeah, what we got done, I mean, so we first took a total assessment, like you said, of the cabin and the boat, and like we kind of knew a little bit what we had to do, but I don't know. I mean, I was thinking this all day because I had to do the project of the bus by myself. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And it was grueling. It was grind. There was some like rivets. It took me forever to pull out. I mean, had to be thousand, if not more, rivets. Like with a pry bar, and I'm pry bar slipping out, smashed me in the face. And like, it was just like, you know, a struggle. I was just like, I was so thankful to have you guys like helping and working. You guys are both like hard workers and like head down to the grindstone. And so I was super thankful to have you guys helping me out because it's like, I don't think that by myself I'd be able to get it done, especially in the amount of time. And even then, like we still got a lot of work, right? We just like the surface thing. So, I was super thankful to have you guys along. So, should I say it one more time? But so it's super cool. Like we're sitting in here in the cabin. We're kind of like bouncing ideas. Oh, what should we do? This and that and this. And it was just like okay. And then like people go, well, like Hunter, you go one way. Zach goes the other. I'm gonna, you know, we're all like grabbing something and just like getting stuff done. I think we know because. Even though it's March and our deadline is like September 1st and like we can't be here every day. It was a 9-hour. It's supposed to be like a 7-hour drive, 7.5 for me and Zach. And Zach, you're a little bit further from me. So like a 10-hour drive because you drive 3 hours to my house and then we drive the rest of the way. And like a 5-hour drive for you, Hunter. And then we hit Chicago traffic and it went from 7.5 to 9 hours and 50 minutes or like something stupid. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like we can't be here all the time. So anytime we're here, we have to like make the most of it. And so we were just and we pushed our bodies to complete exhaustion. I don't know if we'll be able to like keep up the same pace tomorrow, but we'll do our best because we know like we're on a time crunch. We got to be, you know, to the next stage by the next weekend and then the next stage and the next stage and then be in the water, then like ready to go. And then like it has to be ready to go by September 1st. Because that's when duck season opens up, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And after that, you know.
It's not getting worked on.
No. Right.
The only time it's getting worked on is if it's broke down in the river.
Yeah. And, like, also we got to get this project going this year because it's, like, hundreds of dollars to, like, store this.
Yeah. Like, a month.
Right. A month. Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what he said, but, like, yeah. It's a lot. So, yeah. And then moving it to the water. Yeah. So. Did I ever say what the, so they said whoever can move it. So we had to pay a dollar. So that's like the cool part. It's like we paid a dollar for a 43-foot boat, but like transport from, you know, that you're there for the transport, I had to pay $3,000 for, and then like storage prices were like already to like a grand. So,
yeah. Yep.
So there is some investment in all this, but, back to what we got done today.
We cleaned.
Yeah, I'll let you go ahead with this one, Hunter.
Yeah, so I mean, we cleaned pretty much top to bottom. The only part of the boat that currently didn't get cleaned is the bilge where the motors are at and like the main run gear and that kind of stuff. We didn't really touch that today, but everything else got cleaned, which is really nice because now that it's clean, we can actually work on it. So like, now that it's clean, there was. there was a drawer 2 foot long by like a foot and a half deep that was almost literally level with walnuts.
It was like 300 walnuts.
Yeah, like it was more walnuts than I think I've ever picked up combined in my entire life.
Right.
Like,
and the one next to it was an entire nest.
with like some half-eaten walnuts. Yeah. Like, it's like one was his bedroom, the other one was his storage.
It was like the cabinet.
Sleeping on the life jackets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was wild. Like, there was so much stuff. I mean, I was trying to vacuum it out of the front bedroom, the V-berth up front. And, like, I was trying to vacuum it, and the vacuum wouldn't handle it. So I had to literally just, like, grab handfuls of the mouse nests and the random whatever, random chunks of wood, and just, like, throw it in a bucket and throw it out. Like, it was such a mess. And it's, like, wild because we clean it all. We sweep all the floors. And then you look down, and the floors are dirty again. Like, they're just – the dirt is just coming from everywhere in this freaking boat. But – it sat for a long time, so it kind of makes sense. But it's nice because now that it's clean, we can like get measurements, figure out what materials we need, figure out what the next steps are. Now that it's like you can be in here without being worrying about catching some weird rat disease.
Right, right. Yeah, it was gross. Like, I don't know why, but like mouse poop actually does kind of gross me out a little bit. Like, mice don't, but mouse poop, you know? And Zach, you're getting pretty grossed out by the walnuts. You just keep like, this is disgusting.
Well,
this
is just the walnuts were all like wet, like the entire thing were, like, had moldy. Some sort of liquid in it. So it was just disgusting. And then I go to pick up my side of the drawer. Hunter was helping on the other side, so we can go throw it out the side of the boat. And underneath is just soaking wet with whatever liquid was inside this drawer. So it was pretty nasty. But we got it cleaned. That's the important part.
Right. Right. So then the other part we did to the cabin is we made the decision to downsize the kitchen because we need like a little bit of counter space, but it's like made to like, it was made for a family to live in here. Like in the past, it had a refrigerator, it had a washer and dryer, it has a fully functional bathroom with like, you know, the piping and the plumbing and all that. Like, we're going to minimize it in a way that like makes sense for like the functionality of what we need. Like, we need a toilet to take a dump in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can pee off the side of the boat. I guess, you know, if there's ever a woman on the boat, they might have to use the toilet too. the problem won't be very many women unless we bring family on or something like that. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, so we decided to downsize that kitchen. We cut down the counters. We took out a cabinet and like just made more space for our sleeping area and just getting it ready for like that maiden voyage.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we cleaned up a lot of space, took the like the cabinets and the countertops from like a, I don't know, like a U shape to an L now. And it's way better. There's so much more room in here. It's amazing how much like more open the cabin feels. Like, it just feels way bigger.
Right. Cause it was blocking it off. You know, mm-hmm. It was like now it's an open, much longer room. It's almost doubled in size.
Yeah.
It just looks much more inviting.
Yeah.
The light, you know, comes in here a little bit better and it feels a lot more open.
Right.
So.
Yep. We got the power wash going.
Yeah. Power washed most of the boat. The only thing that's left is the bottom part of the hull on one side. My shoulders started to burn up a little bit. So it's like, maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
All right.
So hopefully it doesn't freeze too hard tonight and freeze our water lines up again. But yeah, it's most of the way pressure washed. The pressure washer did not take off the paint like we were hoping.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy because it did in some spots, like took it all the way down. And then other spots, it's like, why did you not peel the paint here? And
that
so,
paint's solid. I was pecking at it. It's like, I mean, it's solid and thick.
Mm-hmm. It's on there. In the spots that it's on there, it's on there. But there's other spots that are like just total garbage. So, I mean, obviously it all needs to be sanded and caulked and repainted.
Right.
And the motor needs to run. And
yeah, long list. So, what we decided is, or what I convinced Hunter on, I should say, is that, I mean, we just need it to be functional. Like, I get it that, like, we could probably work on this indefinitely and, like, make it to, like, it's like a masterpiece. Or we could make it suitable for duck hunters on the river to be, like, our vessel for the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do all the things we have to. Like, we had to have a cool usable living space. We got to finish off the beds. And then, like, beyond that, like, we're going to make some lockers and stuff like that, or, like, you know, a storage compartments. It's going to be cooler than, like, the words I'm saying, but, like, I'm trying to say in a cool way, but, you know, like, that's functional stuff. But yeah, then we got to have the mechanics of the motor running. We got to seal up every single board. We got to caulk all the way around it. We got to sand down the paint. We got to redo all the railing because the wood is rotted on the outside.
Hunter almost fell off it.
Yeah, I didn't almost. I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, throwing some of the garbage out from out of the boat into the pile, and I, like, lost my footing. And the railing did not stop me. And I was, next thing I knew, I was bent all the way over the side of the boat, just barely holding on.
Right.
It's a long ways down. Like,
right.
It's long ways down.
Yeah. We need that, like, we need to clean that and, like, rebuild the railing ASAP because it's dangerous to walk around this boat. The walkways out there, I mean, like, it's barely big enough to walk through.
Yeah.
So, and it makes sense because you want your cabin space to be as big as possible, which isn't, it's not giant either. So it's, you know, we're making do with the space we have, and it's more than enough too. So
yeah, these, like, this is the trawler style boat. They're a little bit less efficient on space than, like, the houseboats and, like, that kind of stuff. They just don't have the interior space that a similar sized houseboat would, like a Gibson. But they, it's cool. It's cool.
Right. Definitely. So,
anything else? Mr. Duck Gun Chronicles?
Probably. I'm trying to think. I was just making sure the camera's still rolling for the video. But, yeah, that's, like I said, we got plenty of stuff to do to keep it rolling, to keep it going. So, yeah, next step tomorrow, we're going to be finishing up on the power washing. I don't even know, man. I don't know, but we'll be doing it. We'll probably finish cleaning up the outside of the boat too.
Probably clean up the outside.
And take then, measurements.
Yep, take measurements for boards. Yeah. Boards that we need. There's a whole bunch of stuff. We need to take measurements to order paint. We need to take measurements to order caulk. I need to spend like 3 hours down in the engine bay trying to figure out what's going on with all that stuff. Figure out what hoses we need to order, what water pump, all that kind of stuff. And at some point, we need to hear the motor turn over because we still have yet to hear that. It seems like an important thing.
Can we tell the story of the prop, too? Is that private? Okay, don't tell the story. Yeah. All right, there's an interesting story we can't tell, but we literally don't have the prop. And, like, to buy a new prop is like
thousands.
$1,500 to get a used one. If you have to get one made, it's like $3,000 or.
Yeah, yeah. So we do not currently have it, but we know where it's at, and we. Can hopefully acquire.
They've agreed to give us the prop. So give it back to the ship. Boat.
Yep. But yeah, it's like there's just so much stuff. I mean, it's not going to be easy, and we have some arguments going on how long some of the work is going to take. Because I've been around it before, and they don't want to listen. So,
well, he must have been working with grandpas because he said to caulk the boat is going to take, like you said, is going to take like. 2 weekends with like 5 guys, not to like undo it and redo it. You're like to just caulk every board.
Yeah. I mean like 150, 200 hours.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean 150, 200 man hours is what it'll take to caulk this boat correctly.
Okay. Well, we have to go back to the functional thing, right? It's like, yeah, but it doesn't have to be like a piece of art. It doesn't have to be a tapestry. It just has to like not let the water in.
Yeah, but I feel like the boards is kind of like the part that's keeping the water out should probably be the part that we do a good job on.
Sure.
I think 3 guys can get it done in one day.
So here's the difference between like me and Zach and Hunter. Like you are like slow and methodical, right?
Yeah.
A very, very good attention to detail. Whereas like if we look at like me and Zach.
Your job today versus mine?
Well, no, like, yeah, like the reassemble of the thing. Like we're just like. Yeah, you're just gonna make it work kind of thing, right?
So functional.
It works. It's functional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like there's no way we're not carpenters, right? So it's not gonna be like perfect clean edges, this and that. Like, you know, Zach, you just stacked up like you know, four or five little pieces of wood. That was your shim. Like, you didn't even straighten them up to the side. Like, I would have, like, at least lined them up. But, like, you know, but it works is kind of what I'm getting at. So with, like, the caulk, it's like, get it in the seam. And you're like, well, it has to have, like, a perfect, like, like ridge running through it. And, like, it just has to fill the hole.
There's a reason that you're supposed to do it that way.
Why?
So the water doesn't catch it and pull it back out.
Will it last a season?
Do you want to do it every year?
No, not really. Right. Right. So, but I think that's where you're like, okay, it might take more time if you want to do it like pristine. But also, it's our first time doing it, so it ain't going to be perfect.
No. And I mean, there's a lot of things about the boat that like isn't going to be perfect. The side decks have some spots that are... That sounds very interesting. But there's some side decks that like have some soft spots in it that probably won't be fixed with tongue and groove. They'll probably be fixed with a board put over top so we don't fall through. And that'll just be how it is. And like, it's got to be good enough for us to get down the river and duck hunt. And that's...
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of also part of the story when it's kind of rinkety. Like, lack of a better way to put it.
It has really good bones, though. As far as, like, the interior, and, like, I don't want people that are just picturing it from our words, like, it's, like, this decrepit thing. It's, like, it's really not. It's a really cool wood, long, like, full of long history, like, history from the past. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Not long, but, like.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's cool about it is that it's a wood boat, but, like, a lot of the other major wood boat builders stopped making wood boats in the 50s, and this thing was made in the late 80s. So while it is still, what, 50 years old at this point? Oh, wait, lady.
So it's like 40 or like, you know, 43 or whatever. Yeah.
Close enough to 50. But anyway, certain someone's Jimmy's over here. But I mean, like, it's new. What I'm saying is that, like, in the world of wood boats, this is still a new boat. Granted, it's not a mahogany boat, which lasts longer, but it's still a newer wood boat. And so it's made with like a little bit newer building practices than they would have made in the 50s. It's made with screws rather than nails, and like stuff like that actually makes a pretty decent difference when it comes to how easy it is to fix and how easy it is to like, or how long it's going to stay together. So,
right.
I mean, I have high hopes for the boat, like getting in the water and floating and everything. I don't know how much I trust the nice engine down here to keep us going. I don't know how much I trust some of the bearings, but when they fail, we'll fix them.
Right.
So
it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a story, that's for sure.
Yep. It's an adventure.
That's what we're going for. An adventure. Awesome duck hunts. Awesome time doing it. Some good buddies getting together. And hopefully some awesome content and that you guys get to enjoy as well. So probably a good place to go ahead and wrap this one up. I know we're all tired, we're all hungry, ready to make a plan for tomorrow. The sun's starting to set. And get settled in, maybe get some heat rolling as well. This is all we got for today, guys. I'm Jordan, Duck Gun Chronicles, Hunter, Duck Gun Podcast, and Zach, the young Padawan. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
I'm freezing.
Huh?
I'm freezing.
My nose is.
Oh, dude, when I stood up to check the camera, it was like you said, like I couldn't unbend my back. I was like, my back's stuck.